We're continuing our series on living in the spiritual realm. In our previous session, that is last week, we saw that we are no longer earth dwellers. We're no longer earth dwellers. Okay? She got the point. We are citizens and ambassadors of God's kingdom to this fallen world. This is not our home. The spiritual realm is our reality. That's not only our home place, but that is our reality. And we identified several ways that we can cultivate our ability to experience the spiritual realm. That was all last week and previous weeks. I'd like to start off by asking you several questions this morning. They're on your worksheets there. Where does your spirit exist? Is it in California?
No. Wherever you're living, I suppose.
Does it exist in the temple of dirt? In this temple of dirt?
Yeah.
Does your spirit exist in the physical realm?
No.
No. Your spirit exists in the spiritual realm. You are a bi-realm being. You exist simultaneously in the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So, is your spirit aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm near to you?
Yes.
At times?
At times. Well, you're consciously aware of it at times, right?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it is, but we're not always attuned to it.
There you go.
Yes.
Your spirit is aware of what's going on around it, but you consciously are not always aware of that. Okay? We're talking about the difference between your spirit and your psyche, your soul. Can your spirit detect other spiritual beings near you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I take it you've experienced that a few times.
I have real trouble when I pick up on the wrong spirit or something.
Mm-hmm.
My spirit must really be in tune because I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Good. That's good.
It is, except when it's in your family.
Well, yeah. We need to learn to address that properly. Do you think it's possible to train yourself to better experience the spiritual realm?
Yes.
Okay, so there's room for improvement, right?
That's why we're in this question.
That's why we're here, right. I want to make something absolutely clear as we get started here. I've said this several times, I'm going to say it again. I am not an expert in these issues. Yes, I journal, I dialogue with God, and I write down the conversation that He and I have. Is that a spiritual experience?
Yes, definitely.
Why? How is that a spiritual experience?
Because your spirit is communicating with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So my spirit and the Holy Spirit are communicating with each other, right?
Yes.
Now, as I understand it, as Gene pointed out here, we communicate with God spirit to spirit. We interact with Him spirit to spirit. And then our spirits inform our psyches of what's going on. Now, in recent years, I've begun having additional spiritual experiences, but I'm definitely not an expert. I'm still learning, and I plan to keep learning.
Amen.
Look at Hebrews 5:14 on your worksheets. The solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, this verse doesn't specifically address today's topic, but it identifies an important principle, and it's this. One sign of spiritual maturity is that you're training yourself. One sign of spiritual maturity is that you are training yourself. If you come to a church service or to a class like this, for example, and you expect to be spoon-fed, you're not mature. Who by constant use have trained themselves. The word trained there is a Greek verb, gymnazo. From which we get our English word, gymnasium.
Yeah.
Gymnasium. Gymnazo. And it means to discipline or exercise yourself. And it means to train. Now, according to this verse, how can we train ourselves? According to this verse.
Pray.
No, according to this verse.
Solid food. The Bible.
What does it say?
But solid food.
Who by what have trained themselves?
Solid food.
No. Listen.
Okay.
By what have trained themselves? By constant use. Thank you.
Okay.
That word constant use is from a Greek noun, hexis, okay? And it means a habit. It means a power acquired by custom, practice, or use. So this is a general principle that applies to our spiritual senses. We can train ourselves by using them.
All of the senses, is that what you're saying? Or silence of the word, the Bible? What's the habit? All of the above?
We can train, I'm sorry?
Practicing,
yes. We develop ourselves by practicing.
But
that could be through prayer, worship. this scripture reading, anything.
This is a general principle.
Okay.
We develop ourselves by practicing things, okay?
Okay.
It's a general principle.
Okay.
And in this case, it says they've trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The word distinguish there is a noun, diakrisis, and it means the ability to decide, ability to distinguish. And the primary basic meaning there is to differentiate, all right? To be able to tell this is one thing, that's another thing. Just because I'm experiencing something in the spiritual realm doesn't mean that it's always good, right? And we learn to distinguish good from evil. Well, the same word there that's translated distinguish, diakrisis, that's the same word used in the spiritual gift list in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says to another, distinguishing between spirits. That word distinguishing is the same word, diakrisis. So 1 Corinthians 12 describes the spiritual gift, which indicates a special ability, all right? It's a special ability. But Hebrews 5:14 refers to spiritually mature believers training themselves to distinguish things. You see that? Now, there are those who say, well, God gives us all spiritual gifts. Well, every spiritual gift comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. But I'm not convinced at this point that all of us have all the spiritual gifts. I know there are ones that I don't have, like mercy, for example. Okay? I'm very much aware that I lack in certain spiritual gifts. I think that God has equipped me a certain way to perform the tasks He's designed me or He intends for me to fulfill. Okay? Hebrews 5:14 says that spiritually mature believers can train themselves to distinguish between things. I want you to follow this progression here. There is a spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, right? Like there's a spiritual gift of interpreting in tongues. But the scripture elsewhere says that everyone can speak in tongues, in fact, should, right? There's also a spiritual gift of prophecy, but there's another verse that says that everyone can prophesy, right? If I say so, okay. Well, read 1 Corinthians 14, I think it is. Yeah. Likewise, there is a spiritual gift of distinguishing between spirits. Right there, 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's a gift, spiritual gift. But everyone can do it. I would expect that a believer with a spiritual gift to be more skilled and used more often by God than the typical believer. But every believer can develop these abilities. The every believer who doesn't have that specific spiritual gift will not be as proficient at using it, and God won't call on them as often to use it as someone who actually is equipped that way. Do you follow me? Are there things that you can do well that your spouse can't do as well? Because they're equipped differently, right? Now, you can still do the things that your spouse can do, but you can't. Like, my wife is a very social person. I'm not. I go crazy when I get in front of a class like this, but you put me in a social environment, I tend to withdraw, all right? I'm not nearly as skilled or proficient in the social environment as my wife is. And similarly, I can do all these other spiritual things, but I will not be as proficient or as effective at them as someone who has that specific gift. You follow me? And therefore, someone who is recognized as having a spiritual gift, God will use because they have greater credibility. You follow me? With the people who see them or interact with them. My point is this. You can discipline or train yourself in spiritual matters by making a habit of exercising those abilities. You can discipline or train yourself in spiritual matters by making it a habit of exercising these abilities. Now, obviously, this includes trial and error for those who are gifted and those who aren't specifically gifted. It involves trial and error. By the way, we talk about trial and error. The only person who is a failure is the one who quits trying or doesn't try in the first place. Okay? They are the only failure. The rest of us are learning. Okay? How long did it take you to learn to speak English?
I came out of the womb talking.
We say amen to that, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm still learning. It's my native language, but I'm... English is my native language, but I'm still learning. The point here is that perseverance is essential to progress. Perseverance is essential to progress. So keep working on these spiritual experiences, such as seeing in the spiritual realm, until you get a breakthrough. And by the way, perseverance is a godly character trait. All right? It's a godly character trait that's relevant to all of life, not just the things we're talking about here. And we can develop perseverance, ironically, by consistently being perseverant. In other words, keep using your abilities and your results will improve. Keep using your abilities. What little ability you may have, keep using it and it will develop. Any questions or comments on what we've covered so far?
Question.
Yes.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, God will take it from you. I don't
Well, the scripture says the gifts of God are without repentance. Right. He will not recall them. Right. They're not revocable. Right. They're irrevocable, okay?
But it's like he said,
it's very likely to become dormant. You become ineffective at that or less effective. Yeah. Any other thoughts on that? Or any questions or comments about what else we've, anything else we've covered so far?
Up in 1 Corinthians 12,
yes.
Is distinguishing between spirits the same as discerning?
That's just a different translation, yes. Yes. The discerning has to do with distinguishing between. That's just a different translation.
If the gift becomes dormant, does that mean that God will not use that gift in our future life with Him in heaven?
Oh, in heaven? Do you think your spiritual gifts will be dormant in heaven?
No, but if there's one that's dormant in me that I haven't practiced or used, what's going to happen to it?
I don't know. I'm anxious, eager to find out.
Okay, you haven't been there yet. Okay,
I haven't been there yet. Yeah.
We're not going to need these in heaven to distinguish evil from good. Is everything good?
There are some things that we're not going to need in heaven. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
But if we're down here on earth, judging angels and helping God govern the earth, I think we will need them.
There's a sense in which we will still need to distinguish between good and evil, even in the millennial, the thousand-year kingdom, okay, millennial kingdom. Because we're going to be ruling and reigning, we're going to be able to have, we will have the responsibility of judging beings, physical and spiritual beings, so we will be able to, we will need to distinguish, okay, here's the principle that applies here, this is not acceptable, that is acceptable. So there's a sense in which we will still need to distinguish between good and evil in that sense.
So we should, therefore, we should practice all, and persevere and practice all of the gifts.
I firmly believe that there's a sense in which we accomplish, what we accomplish in this life determines our starting point, so to speak,
yes.
In eternity.
Yes.
However, we will continue to develop in eternity, and we will no longer have the limitations of our fallen attitudes and behavior. Okay, people call it sinful nature, although I don't believe we still have a sinful nature. We still have attitudes and habits and so forth, perspectives from our previous.
And Pat, you could have a gift that you don't know about.
Yes.
Until you're going to be challenged, and then all of a sudden you'll find out that, oh, the Lord gave me.
I know I have certain gifts, but there's a lot that I haven't practiced or tried to cultivate.
Only because you haven't experienced it.
Well,
see now, maybe if you experience something, these gifts could come through.
However, we do experience them by activating things, or by trial and error.
I could pray for the Lord to help me.
This is the kind of thing we're talking about in this series. Exactly. Yes. That's exactly it. Yeah. Again, trial and error is important. If you believe God has shown you that you have a certain inclination or ability, then say, okay, I choose to activate that. I choose to exercise that and be willing to take tiny steps in the beginning and grow into it. Any other observations or questions before we move on?
I just think that in the heavenly realm, we can do it.
One thing we won't have to deal with, we deal with Satan now and imps now, which change our thinking a lot of times.
Definitely.
You know, with it, and we won't have that. So we'll be in the spiritual realm altogether. We won't have any coming doubt coming, fear coming, because it comes from Satan.
Mm-hmm.
His imps.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a gift and you used it in the wrong way, then what?
That's the trial and error part.
I've made a lot of mistakes.
Until maybe you find out that You're using this gift in the wrong way.
Well, there's a difference between
making
mistakes and doing things deliberately, yes.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Yeah, I could say I have the spirit of discernment and go say, this person and that person are evil, and it wasn't really from God, and that would be definitely wrong.
Right.
That's your own thinking.
Yeah.
Your own psychic thing.
All right, let's zero in now on the spiritual sight. That's our topic for today, okay? A few weeks ago, I asked you to complete a spiritual experience survey, and 76% of you indicated that you hear God's voice either sometime or frequently, okay? I think that's great, 76%, although it could be 100%. It could be. We all can and probably do hear God's voice. Those of us who think we don't probably just don't recognize it. Anyway, 76% said that you realize that you do hear God's voice on an occasional or frequent basis, but only 23% indicated that you see spiritual beings or the spiritual realm sometimes or frequently. Only about a third as many as say that I hear. Let me finish this one point here, okay? Would you consider a blind person handicapped even if they could hear?
No.
Why?
If you're talking about the spiritual realm.
No, I'm talking about a natural person here.
Okay.
A blind person.
In some way.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we would consider a blind person handicapped even if they could hear, though, right? They would be less functional, have limited ability compared to what they would have if they were fully sighted, right? Well, because they have eyes, we consider it normal for them to see, right? Many of us are spiritually handicapped, I believe, because we're not seeing in the spiritual realm. God enables some people to see the spiritual realm. But does that mean he equipped them differently than he did those who can't see in the spiritual realm? Or is spiritual vision possible for all of us? So, are you familiar with people who are called prophets?
Yeah.
Look at 1 Samuel 9:9. This was in the Old Testament now. Listen to their perspective. This was written in the Old Testament times. It says, formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let's go to the seer. Because the prophet of today, in the Old Testament times, used to be called a seer. Well, in the Old Testament times, they were basically saying, in the past, we called these people seers. Now we call them prophets, okay? Now today, there are prophetic types who have the seer anointing, or the ability to visually see in the spiritual realm. That's a special gift, okay? However, every believer has spiritual sight. It's just that their ability isn't as advanced as a seer's ability. There's a certain category who are experts in this area. They do it very well. They've learned, they're growing into that, and they've learned to become effective at that. And they are much more advanced than the rest of us. But all of us have this potential. So if it's possible for all of us to see in the spiritual realm, can we develop or improve that ability?
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, last week we listed several ways to cultivate our ability to experience the spiritual realm. And one of them was, ask God to open your spiritual eyes. That was one of the suggestions I had for you. Ask God to open your spiritual eyes. We referenced Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and is incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, as I've said several times, the Bible uses the words heart and spirit almost interchangeably. Okay? So this refers to spiritual vision, the eyes of your heart. The heart being the innermost part of the person. And when you start looking at how these words spirit and heart are used, you begin to see, yeah, they're talking about the same thing. In one place it attributes this function to the heart, another place it attributes that function to the spirit. And these are not necessarily psyche functions. These are spirit functions. So, I suggested at the time that when someone says they saw something spiritual, ask the Lord to show it to you. Someone says, oh, I just saw an angel, or I just saw something happen over here. Pray, Father, I want to see that too. Let that become your desire, all right? Sometimes we don't have something because we don't ask for it. That's scripture. Questions or comments so far about our ability to see the spiritual realm? All right, Jesus is our prototype. I've said that innumerable times. I will continue to say it because it's true. The scripture says he's the firstborn of many, and the Greek word that's translated firstborn is equivalent to our English word prototype. Prototokos, prototype. Look now at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. So, if Jesus had supernatural vision, can we also have it because we're being transformed into his likeness?
Yeah.
It's possible, right? So let's consider some examples of Jesus using his spiritual or supernatural sight. Look at Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. This says that Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descending on him. Do you see that? It doesn't say that anyone else saw it, right? It specifically says that he saw the Holy Spirit descending on himself. Now look at Matthew 4:8. This is Satan's third attempt at tempting Jesus. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now that was physically impossible to see the world from a mountaintop. Physically impossible. So that must be spiritual sight. Mark 6, verses 47 and 48. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, here's the story. Jesus had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And he sent the disciples away in a boat to cross to the sea, to cross the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. And then he, Jesus, went up on the mountaintop to pray by himself. Now John 6:19 says the disciples were 25 to 30 stadia away from the shore. That's 3 to 3.5 miles. Mark 6 says the boat was in the middle of the lake. Now the Sea of Galilee was 8 miles wide at that point, between the two places where they were going, okay? The lake was, Sea of Galilee was 8 miles wide. So the boat was 3 miles or more offshore when Jesus up on the mountain saw his disciples straining at the oars. That's a very long distance to see what people are doing. At night. During a severe storm. In other words, it was impossible, right? It was impossible. It was physically impossible for him to see what the disciples were doing. Now, John 14:12. Thank you. John 14:12 is Jesus speaking. And he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Question, do you have faith in Jesus?
Amen.
That's why you're here, right?
Right.
Because you have faith in Jesus. Is he our prototype? That is, did he have features and abilities we are to have?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he have supernatural vision?
Yes. Yes.
Did he see things in the spiritual realm?
Yes. Yes.
You're doing well here. Did he see things in the physical realm that were impossible to see naturally?
Yes.
Then is it possible for you to have supernatural vision?
Yes. Yes, we spend the kind of time with the Father like he did.
We need to improve our spiritual habits, yes. Now, you might be thinking that you haven't done anything like this in all of your life, so it's out of the question for you now. Who do you think that? Where do you think that thought came from?
The devil.
The devil, Satan. And he's a liar. He is a liar. In fact, Jesus said he's the father of lies. I love Jesus, what he says. He says, when the Satan lies, he speaks his native language.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the way he puts things. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What does pure in heart mean? And why is such a person able to see God now? It doesn't say they will see God now, but I say, yes, they will. What does pure in heart mean? And why is such a person able to see God now? Is that something that happened automatically?
No, it's a process.
And they are actively involved in the process, are they not?
Still in it, I was going to say.
Yeah. They are actively involved in that process of cleaning out all the sludge that keeps them from being pure in heart. Any questions or comments about us having experiences like Jesus? Okay? It's our responsibility to develop these abilities, to train our spiritual senses and our psyches. Now, that's a major challenge in Western cultures because our cultures are based strongly on a materialistic worldview, materialism. Now, although occult activity is increasing dramatically, this is still a materialistic culture. Now, materialism rules out the spiritual. It perceives material existence as the only reality. Whatever you can see, touch, so forth, that's real. If you can't see or touch anything, then it doesn't exist as far as that perspective is concerned. And people with this perspective cannot understand spiritual things, and they consider them foolish. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It refers to the natural mind can't understand these things because they are foolishness to him. That natural man phrase there really is psychikos man, which means that person is psyche-oriented or psyche-dominant. Psyche-dominated. It's essential that we transform our psyches, specifically our minds, from a materialistic world perspective to a Bible-based recognition of spiritual reality. We need to consciously, deliberately get rid of this materialistic perspective and realize, you know what? The spiritual realm is the ultimate reality. Satan wants us to believe that we should avoid supernatural experiences like we're talking about because the occult practices them. But like I said a while ago, he's a blatant liar. Satan wants to deceive you, to neutralize you by making you ineffective in spiritual matters. His goal is to neutralize you so that you can't be effective in God's kingdom against him, Satan. This is warfare. However, we must embrace authentic experiences that we see in the Bible while avoiding the counterfeits practiced by the occult. God our Father wants us to be aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm so we can respond appropriately and participate in what He, God, is doing. That's God's intent. It's Satan's intent to neutralize us so we can't do any of that. But God's intent is for us to be aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm so we can respond to it appropriately and participate in what He, God, is doing. Any questions or comments about our responsibility to train our spiritual senses?
We are being trained whether we want to be, one way or the other, whether we want to be or not. Mm-hmm. Because one thing about Satan, he hates everything God created because God kicked him out.
Right.
But he thought he was taking over the kingdom. And so the people think, Satan comes to them, like you say, he's an author of liars, and said, if you do what I ask you to do, I'll promote you into a high realm. He'll put you somewhere, but it won't be in a high realm, it'll be in a low realm.
Yep.
It'll be hot.
And the reason he's effective with that lie is because we don't realize we're already in a higher realm.
Yes.
That's the problem. We're not aware that we already are there, and can advance and improve in that. And Satan says, oh, you're not there yet, but I can get you there if you do what I say. Okay? Let's talk about what to expect. We're talking about seeing in the spiritual realm. Now, there are several ways that we can see in the spiritual realm. The most common probably is called what we would call open vision, that is, open spiritual sight. That means that an image is superimposed over the physical image that you're looking at. You're seeing two images. One overlays the other, all right? I've had this experience on occasion, and it's rather cool. You see both images very clearly, but one overlays the other. So you can be doing normal physical activities, everyday stuff, while viewing the spiritual realm, because you see the spiritual and physical realms simultaneously. Questions or comments about that? I know you have questions. What are they?
What in the world are you talking about? No, not really.
That's just hard to understand. Mm-hmm. You want so badly to be where the Lord wants you to be, but as you explain that, superimposed, mm-hmm. it's hard to understand for me.
You remember what a slide projector is?
Yeah.
Okay. They project images, right? On a wall or just an object. If I were standing in front of the screen and somebody were to project a slide on the screen, you would see me, but you also would see the image that's on me. Right? One image is overlaying the other, superimposed. That's kind of what it looks like.
The image on me, like that.
The slide is being projected, okay? I'm using an analogy here.
Okay.
I'm simply using an analogy to show you that one image can be superimposed on another. That doesn't mean that there's an image impressed on you that you can see. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that it's like a slide being projected onto a physical object. You can see both the slide image and the physical image.
Right.
Similarly, if you were looking at that, you would see both me and the slide that's projected on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that you would see. You would see the physical object or person or situation, but you also would see the spiritual image superimposed, overlaid on that.
Right.
You would see both in the same location, so to speak. If you haven't... Yeah, this is outside of our boxes, right?
Right.
So I'm calling you to stretch.
That's right.
Stretch your thinking.
All the time used in film and television.
We do.
A lot of superimposed.
Yeah. But here we're talking about apparently visually seeing two images.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's just like you're, like the analogy, it's like having a slide projected on me, and you can see both the slide image and the me image. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
These unusual new experiences can be terrifying or at least concerning. They can cause you to be afraid. What was that? You know, what am I supposed to do here? It can cause confusion, angst, fear. And Jesus says, look, don't be afraid. Don't even be afraid of the enemy, because we have authority over him. Okay? And that's why we need to be able to discern between good and evil. That's what we're going to be developing as we learn to experience the spiritual realm more. And we're going to realize that it's natural for me to be afraid of the boogeyman, you know, as a kid. And it's natural for us to be afraid of threats to our security and so forth. And our first reaction is to run and hide in a lot of cases. But Jesus is trying to tell us, look, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth as a human. He, as a human, received all authority in heaven and on earth. And we, as humans, he's the firstborn, he's the prototype, and therefore we're to become like him. We do have authority here. But again, most of us don't realize that. That's why we spent almost an entire year, last year or the previous year, talking about spiritual authority. Because we need to realize that we have it.
That's where we're going to be really in trouble, because we say discern good and evil.
Mm-hmm. By the world's definition.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to be the bad guys.
We are.
Yes.
We already are.
Yes.
Yeah. And you need to get accustomed to that.
We need to make sure we don't get wrapped up in it, too.
Right.
With what the world's saying. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I need to change my ways and go along with what the world's saying. I don't know. We need to keep our focus on God, his kingdom.
We need to remind ourselves perpetually that the world is deceived.
Yes, it is.
They believe the lie and think it's the truth. They are deceived. So we can't hate them for that. God loves them, and we should too.
Mm-hmm.
We should have concern for their well-being, because they believe the lie. They think that we're the bad guys. We need to focus on what the Bible says about us. We need to have a godly self-image. That's not one that's arrogant and boastful of self. No, I just need to recognize who God has made me to be and how he works through me. It's that simple. We just need to get used to being ostracized by our culture.
Right.
It is happening now, and it will increase. Which brings up another point. Early in life, things happen to us that cause us to make judgments or vows, which we need to break, okay, because they're inappropriate. I know that we all have latent abilities. Things that we are equipped to do that we're not doing because we don't realize that we're equipped that way. Or we recognize that we have that ability and think, yeah, that doesn't look good to me. I don't think I should be doing that. I know for a fact that I don't remember them because I erased them from my mind, but Father has reminded me of cases where I experienced things as a child that terrified me, and I decided, I can't deal with this. I don't want to see these things anymore. I don't want to hear or feel these things anymore. So I shut off my that ability to be aware of what's happening. As a result, I'm having to overcome that obstacle now as an adult. So things happen to us in our youth, in our childhood, especially as young children, because that's when we're most vulnerable. We're most susceptible to the enemy's attacks. So be aware of that. So just because you used to think, or that you have always thought, that certain things were wrong or questionable, change the way you think. Make your thinking conform to what the Bible says. In order to do that, you need to read the Bible on a regular basis.
Right.
Read it prayerfully. Meditate on what it says and let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, show you, okay, here's how this verse applies to you in this situation. That's why repentance, changing the way we think, is vitally important for us. We cannot grow into the things of God that He is about to bring on this earth, that God is about to bring on this earth, if we continue to have those old mindsets and perspectives. Okay? We need to purify ourselves, cleanse ourselves of those old thoughts and perspectives, so that God can show us the reality. That's why I keep saying things like, you are a spiritual being, that is your reality. All right? I'm trying to shift our thinking so we are more receptive to what God says we should be doing, recognizing there's also an evil perversion of these things that we should reject. But just because the occult is doing something doesn't mean it's forbidden for us. We need to embrace the authentic and reject the counterfeit. Authority is a primary theme here. Yes, Satan does have authority. Okay? Scripture says Jesus broke his power. And we can tell from what happened to him that Jesus also greatly limited Satan's authority. Because after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Satan was no longer called the God of this world. Now he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air.
Right.
In other words, he's been demoted. Mm-hmm. And his tenure is limited. Okay? He still has authority. But the only authority he has over you is the authority you yield to him.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be getting into that more in this series, okay?
Yeah.
He cannot violate your will.
That's right.
Because you still have God-given authority. Now, he has authority also, but his cannot overcome yours.
Right.
Instead, it's the other way around. All right?
Right?
Just like Jesus said, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but the scripture also says this, now leave.
That's right.
It really is that simple. All right, so what to expect? We're talking about seeing things in the spiritual realm. Now, let me clarify something here. We're not talking about seeing in the spiritual realm like some sort of a little trick that we can do, like twisting a spoon or whatever. We're not talking about neat things we can learn to do because they're fun. The world is out for those things because they're tantalizing and appealing. And as a result, the world is pursuing the occult because of that.
Mm-hmm.
These neat things they can do and the power that they seem to have over other people and things and so forth. That is occult. We are not talking about spiritual experiences as joy rides or fun things to do or ways we can demonstrate our power to our friends and family and so forth. No. We need to remember that we are at war here. The war is between two kingdoms. And the dark kingdom is out to neutralize you, to make you so ineffective that you can't do anything for God. That's the issue. And the reason we have and need to develop such abilities as seen in the spiritual realm is so that we can be more consciously aware of what's actually happening in the spiritual realm. I mean, oh, where'd that pain come from? Oh, I see what happened, what caused that pain. And I see what I did that gave that being authority to do that thing to me. Seeing in the spiritual realm, being aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm, can make us deal with things more effectively. All right? Because we see the reality. If I have a persistent pain, I've used that example here, if I have a persistent pain in a certain location of my body, then what do? Well, I can go to the doctor, I can take medications, you know, I can go to the chiropractor and see if it'll work out. I can do all kinds of things. But if the problem is originating in the spiritual realm, I can do anything I want to the physical, and it's not going to be effective. Because the cause is still there. You follow me? And the only reason that that spiritual being can afflict me with that kind of thing is because I have done something that authorized them to do it.
We open the door.
Exactly. And it's our attitudes and our behavior that allow one or the other kingdom to influence us. Both are present. Both want to influence us. And our choices, our attitudes, our thinking, and our behavior and so forth influence or determine which realm, which kingdom can influence us.
So with the pain, for instance.
Take the pain, for instance, yes.
Right. You could always then use your spiritual authority because you wouldn't really know.
If I don't know, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cover it. And then if you've done that and it still persists, then you might ask for wisdom, as Clark, do something different.
Ask for wisdom about what else I should do, yes. Mm-hmm. We talked about what to expect here. The most likely thing that we will expect is an open vision, that is seeing one image superimposed on the other. Is that beginning to sink into your thinking now? Okay, good. Let's talk about how that happens now. Your psyche, that is your soul. Again, I use the word psyche because we have broader understanding of the word psyche, and our understanding of the soul is very limited, and I think it's also wrong in some ways. So I refer to the psyche. Your psyche, or soul, continuously receives inputs from both your spirit and your physical body. But usually your psyche pays more attention to your body than your spirit, so you normally don't see what's coming from your spirit. You follow me? I suggest the problem is twofold here. Number one, this happens because our spirits are weak. And secondly, because our psyches generally ignore our spirits. So, we need to build up our spirits and train our psyches to pay attention to them. We need to do both. And an excellent way to start is by praying in tongues, also called praying with your spirit. How do you think that praying in tongues can strengthen your spirit?
Because he is revealing things we can't speak with our natural language.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you make it a conscious effort to focus on the things of God.
On the spiritual things,
right,
yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that change, that influences the way we think, then, right?
Because you're blocking out.
Right, yes. Do you think that your spirit also gets stronger as you use it?
Yes.
As you allow it to express itself?
Yes.
Just like physical exercise builds up your muscles. Even if you're not doing it for that purpose, it still happens, right? So in that sense, praying in tongues can strengthen your spirit.
And Larry, I agree with what you're saying, too. You're saying the devil can't understand when he's speaking in tongues, praying directly to the Father. That's direct communication between a psychic and God.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't understand that. So that's why it's important to pray in tongues. Mm-hmm. Because he's revealing our innermost thoughts to the Father. And we can't express what that does to language.
And whether that is our human spirit praying or the Holy Spirit praying through us,
yes,
the effect is the same.
Yes.
And if my spirit is in unity with the Holy Spirit, then it really doesn't matter which one of us is speaking.
That's right. We're getting the job done.
Getting the job done, yep. How might praying in tongues help you become aware of what your spirit senses? Well, we have been psyche dominant most of our lives, right? We pay much more attention to what we think and feel and want than what our spirit is motivated to do. We've been psyche dominant most of our lives. So your psyche has to acknowledge your spirit's existence to allow it to pray through your physical body, right? And your psyche needs to honor your spirit by yielding control. I mean, it's very easy. In fact, I know a lot of people do this, especially their initial experiences in praying in the Spirit, say, oh, that was weird. I don't want to do that anymore. That was a psyche choice to suppress the Spirit. Their mind made a conscious decision to stop doing that. That's psyche dominance. So, praying in the Spirit reorients our psyches, our thinking, to not only allow the Holy to allow our spirit or the Holy Spirit to pray through our physical bodies, but also honors our spirit by permitting it to do so. Basically, yielding control to our physical to our spirit to use our physical bodies. You see, it's your psyche function to make decisions. It decides what you are going to do. So it decides you need to decide to let your spirit express itself through speaking in tongues, through whatever other means. Gradually, you become consciously aware of what your spirit senses and what it's doing. But it's a gradual process. It's not like, okay, yeah, I allow my spirit to speak in tongues and suddenly I'm fully aware of everything. That's probably not going to happen. Because we grow into it. That will be a miraculous experience, not a natural growth experience. Okay, God very seldom does things that way. He does it for a purpose. Like, you need to really see that was Him who did it. Otherwise, we grow into things and we develop through use, through practice. So gradually become aware of what your spirit senses, and what it's doing. And I think praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is one of the best ways that we can do that. Because it does two things. It strengthens your spirit and reorients your psyche. If you want to become aware of the spiritual realm, pray in tongues much more. Not because praying in tongues makes you aware of the spiritual realm. Rather, praying in tongues much more radically changes the way you think so that you're more receptive to what your spirit is doing and experiencing so that you become aware of what it's doing and what it's doing and experiencing. So you gradually become increasingly aware of the spiritual realm.
But continually praying in tongues then brings you in contact with the Holy Spirit.
Really, exactly.
With the Holy Spirit, because then there's communication. And this is what you want to try to develop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the fastest.
Look at 1 Corinthians 14:8. Paul wrote this and said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Now, he didn't write that because he was arrogant or that he wanted people to celebrate his abilities. He thanked God for this because he knew the value of praying in tongues. It's that simple. You are a spirit being with a psyche temporarily living in a physical body. Your spirit is the real you. So make your psyche yield to it, or let your spirit express itself. Any brief questions or comments before we conclude this morning? Okay, I've given you recommended daily activity. Actually, I've given you the last week's again, because it still is relevant. Persevere with the following. Pray with your spirit. Use your spiritual authority and declare that you will experience the spiritual realm or more of it. And focus your thoughts on the spiritual realm. Now, the goal here is to transform your perception of reality. To acknowledge that, first of all, you are a child of God Almighty. That He wants you to become aware of the spiritual realm where you already exist. And so that you can participate in what He's doing. I'd like for you to read this next statement that's on your worksheet there in unison with me, if you would, please. Let's begin. I declare to myself and everyone in the spiritual realm that I will experience more of that realm. One more time, please. I declare to myself and everyone in the spiritual realm that I will experience more of that realm. Now, I suggest you say that several times aloud, several times each day. You need to hear yourself say that because that changes your thinking. And also the spiritual beings respond to what you say. When you declare in your authority, I choose to do this, then the bad, dark kingdom has to back off. Because they can't prevent you from what God says He wants you to do when you declare you're going to do. They can resist, but they can't prevent. All right. Likewise, as you embrace God's will in these matters, you allow His beings to influence you and to facilitate the process. So it's important. Closing comments. Significant change requires deliberate effort over time. So persevere, and you'll begin making progress. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually and psychologically so God can use us as He intends. It's no longer business as usual. Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.